that was it.
Councilor Larson from Ward 5, the chair of the committee, Susan Albright is to my left, vice chair of the committee and councilor from Ward 2, Marco Rado, councilor from Ward 7, Barbara Bussell Glazer, ward councilor from Ward 3, Joe Lappin, ward councilor from Ward 8, and we are also joined by Councilor Lucan Fuller, at large from Ward 7, a member of the committee, and our committee clerk, Nadia Khan. We are going to begin with item number 34-7, transferring $1 million for snow and ice removal expenses. Again, we're asking for overtime costs of $300,000 and Santa Claus of $700,000, but we are due for a good one tomorrow on one that was money by the commissioner.
What a happy guy.
Once again, we are going to have to amend the amount probably by the time it gets to finance.
That is awesome. So right now, through seven events, about 17 inches of snow, I believe,
16.3,
maybe up to
16.4. So we have
your
summary here.
Great, so that should be on there. We're at about $1.9 million right now. We've already come back to you for $1.5 million. So with this million, we'll have $3.5 million at our disposal.
Okay.
A 12-inch, to whatever this ends up being now, they're saying 18 inches possibly. You know, that could be close to $1 million. So this may be what we're asking for tonight. But we have 2.5 as it stands right now. This will bring us up to 3.5 or so.
So the money in this budget, you have 2.8. You've only spent 1.9.
Yes.
You're asking for another million, but in anticipation of the storm.
Yes.
Okay. We're joined by Wayne Gentile, Councilor Ward. From Ward 4. So, any questions?
Anybody? So, I just have one question. I know Council Laredo and I were both asked this question.
Same person.
Yes. What is the procedure for, I mean, you're the one who gets the weather reports.
Yes.
Right? What is your coordination with the superintendent and mayor? If you find out at a certain time we're getting this, do you have a conversation with them? Are they looking at their own weather reports?
I'm sorry, the mayor or the superintendent?
Well, superintendent.
Okay,
so the superintendent.
We all have that same information. Mm-hmm. It goes to them also. And we talk several times a day, actually, on the conditions. There are times when we'll have a few trucks out overnight. We actually had some last night, but it wasn't enough to handle what happened. Overnight, but we communicate daily on this, and we get those weather reports daily also, so it's multiple times a day. I actually have a conference call at 7:30, so I'll be stepping out for a few minutes on the storm for tomorrow.
So like this morning, it was icy. Do you tell them that you're not going to have it cleared, or they just make their own decision?
The superintendent?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean of school?
Yeah. Superintendent of school.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you meant our superintendent.
Oh, no.
I apologize.
No, I know you talked to your superintendent.
Yeah. So there's close coordination with parks, does most of the communication with the schools, but we will communicate with them if we feel.
So I guess the follow up.
I'm sorry.
I apologize. Sorry. If I do this on land use, I get all mad, so you get mad at me.
I'll take it out on you later.
I know you will. This morning, for example, you learn a bit of a problem. I think what we're driving at, is there a protocol for you to call the superintendent of schools at a certain point in time and say, hey, the conditions are pretty bad out here. Need to let you know that.
We've not had that line of communication actually in the past. We do talk to Mike Cronin, their director of operations, who would be the line, but I don't normally call the superintendent now.
It's just a suggestion going forward. Today was rather an unusual day, but I wonder if there's some way, if you see that kind of, if you see a situation like that developing, if there's a way that you can get the superintendent right away to see if there's some ability to make schools away for a couple hours. I mean, I think that seemed to have been a bit of a disconnect today, although I think there's a disconnect shared by every other city and town in eastern Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably was something when the superintendent, if he's called them, when it's about 2 years.
It was completely surprising
event.
Yeah,
temperatures get
way lower than we expected.
I'm just asking
questions. No, in hindsight, you're right, Councilor. I should have called the superintendent. We were scrambling to do what we could. But in hindsight, that would have been proper protocol. And I'll reach out to him also to let him know your lesson learned.
What should be the
SOP for that? Because
it could happen again. I think that would be the most helpful takeaway.
Maybe if you can't get the schools, but you don't have to weigh in on whether he should cancel school all the time. But,
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
So I'll be looking for a motion. I'm happy myself to.
What are we on?
First item. Removing money to be prepared. So we have a motion to approve from Councilor Albright. All in favor?
So it may well be amended by the time.
Actually, it makes the budget pretty healthy relative to what you spent so far.
Yeah.
Okay. I was hoping Scott would also be here for this.
He said he's on his way.
Okay.
And he asked you to make a comment on the second item.
On the second item, I was going to take up MWRA loan financing out of order so that we can finish it in time, hopefully by 7:45. I would like to skip over the next two so that we can have this conversation. Item number 386-16 is Councilors Crawford and Gentile proposing to establish policies and decisions for the use of approved MWRA no interest loan financing to encourage homeowners to participate in the lead service line replacement program. There have been discussions among members of the Water Sewer Committee, and Lenny and I, and probably Lenny and Maureen as well, about how we think we propose to proceed with this, but we need to bring this into committee for a discussion. To remind you all, this is the lead line replacement program for residents. And we did have discussed this once before, but I believe we're going to be treated to a bit of a presentation this evening. To lay out clearly the parameters of the program, and just to remember while you're looking at it, the NWRA no interest loan program is a zero interest loan over 10 years to the city. So the decision we want to make today or to give this department an idea of where we'd like to go with this is do we want to offer the same terms to homeowners for the work on the private portion of their property or something else? So just to keep that in mind, and then I'm going to hand it over to the commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, so we've done quite a bit of work on this. I know we presented to you earlier in probably later in the summer. Kind of a short presentation to let you know where we're at now, and then we're happy to answer the questions. We have our findings, we have our big documents ready to go, and we can talk about the program right after he does his presentation. Everyone knows Ted Jardine, our Director of Utilities.
All right. I have
copies here of actually the loan agreement that we have presented to MWRA, and a lot of what's in my presentation is in here. But if you guys want to look at it or pass it around afterwards, let me get to the presentation. So anyway, like Jim said, it's just to give you an update of where we're at, how we came to this point, and what we're going to do going forward. So obviously the objective was to investigate all city records, determine locations of suspected lead water services, and develop plans and bid specifications to replace them. I emphasize on suspected lead services. Lead was used between 1875 and 1915, and iron was used, it overlapped that period by about 10 years. So the way that we came about trying to determine who had lead is we looked at existing tie cards. This one in particular is 1889. And we did a repair over here and we found out that it was lead.
Mark, we're joined by Scott Lennon, president of Ward. We just started the presentation on the lead line program.
So we looked at existing tie cards, which is about 2,200 of them, and looked at them all the way going up to actually about 1940. We looked at, with the help of Lou and his guys, we looked at Engineering Department Water and Improvement Program. That information gave us information about basically the pipe material industry. When they go and do cleaning and lining, they note whether they replace iron with copper, so we used that information. And then we also used our Hansen Asset Management Report, which is we log in everything we do in utilities as far as any repairs, replacements of water services in the street. So do that, and this map doesn't show up, but it shows up a lot nicer on paper than it does on the screen. But this gives you an idea of where all those lead services, suspected lead services are. You know, it's kind of followed like the older portion of town, north of the pipe, Newton Center. That's the Discovery Road up Upper Falls.
Yeah. So then if you go back and just that also has the layout of how many there are private services, just in the street and total services. Yeah,
258 services to be replaced in the property only, and 4 services to be replaced in the street only, 313 to be completely replaced from the main to the meter for a total of 585. Then we started off, when this program started, we started off with like 644. So completed the day, we sent certified letters to homeowners with a right of entry form to be completed and returned. We received 78% of those back. Then we sent out utility personnel. Actually, we brought back Larry Cedroni, who retired, and Anthony Gentile, who retired. We had a lot of experience, and they actually ended up marking out all those 585 services digitally. Then, once they did that, and we did it by ward, we had Dan Howard, our engineer, go out and perform site investigations to photograph and determine the quantities and costs for the public portion and the private portion per site, and then develop plans and bid specifications, which now are 100% complete. This is just a couple photographs, so here's your best case scenario, where we marked it out, the main's on the same side of the street, no obstructions. In all likelihood, they dig a pit here, and pull the pipe. Here, obviously, the worst case scenario, the main's on the other side of the street. You got the walls. You know, you're not going to pull this pipe because there's probably elbows in here, so you're not going to be able to kick the cable through. So that just kind of gives you an idea of what we're up against.
Mm-hmm. in your earlier slide, you said that you had estimated the cost for each property.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the previous pictures, how accurate are your estimates? And I don't know if you want to talk about that now and how you're going to handle that, because the actual conditions and the actual costs are likely to be different from
estimates.
So whenever
right.
you're ready,
you
talk about
then
let him go through the presentation
right.
and then we'll take
right.
questions.
Just the engineer's estimated cost, and it's going to be conservative because they're going to weigh on the high side. Construction is $2.5 million. You see they put a 20% contingency in, so the construction is right around $3 million. Engineering, which includes design, construction administration, and resident observation, is $384. That's already in the process and it's already been funded. Just taking that spreadsheet out, you've got the spreadsheet of the individual services, but the minimum service replacement, they estimated $1,310, the average $2,597, and the most expensive one that they've estimated out is $585 to $7,150, which is probably that one you showed her. So where do we go from here? Right now, we expect to advertise this bid February 23rd. We can determine the cost and the payment plan to the homeowners. That's one of the reasons that we're here tonight. And then once we do that, we're going to send out certified letters to the homeowners describing some of the following: description of the program, the importance of replacing your water service regardless if it's lead or iron. You got to keep in mind that, you know, 585 are the oldest water services in town. So they're going to be prone to leaks. And we don't want to avoid replacing in the street and not having the homeowner replacing the property, because they run a greater risk of that pipe leaking because of the differential in pressure between a new pipe and an old pipe that's subverculated. Like I said, we'll describe the associated cost and payment plan, and owner's responsibility pre- and post-construction. The way the bid specs and these estimates are put together is the contractor is going to go in, they're going to do the excavations, they're going to backfill, loam and seed, if it's in, obviously, the lawn, they'll pave if it's in the driveway. Obviously, they'll replace in kind on the public side, but on the private side, that's all they're going to do. So we need to let the homeowners know that if you have, you know, a cobblestone walk or walls or anything like that, planting that you want to save, that it's going to be up to them to make adjustments to save them, or, you know, they'll be gone. So that's going to be key. And then scheduling and contact name and number. There's going to be a lot of coordination between the contractor and the resident engineer. They're going to have to meet with these homeowners. They're going to have to see how this meter is configured in the home, whether it comes through the basement floor, whether it comes through the wall, whether it's in a finished basement. So there's going to be a lot of coordination. With that being said, we're going to put this out to bid on the 23rd. We'll have a mandatory pre-bid meeting where any contractor that's going to bid on this has to come to this pre-bid, or we won't accept this bid, and explain all this and explain in detail the complexities of this job. So here's the construction schedule. February, like I said, we're going out for bidding. March, bid opening. Normally, you put this bid out on the street for 2 weeks. We're putting it out for 4 weeks. The bid specs will have all the tie cards. We'll have all the pictures for the contractors to look at. And April begins, December, the end of the construction season. Hopefully, at 50% complete. And by June of 18, June of 17.
Really,
yeah. Construction 100% complete, and give them a couple months to do the funding. And that's about it. Started some questions. These are the gentlemen that, work on it. Michael Bass and my superintendent. Chris Castle, assistant. Christopher Petrie. We did a lot of looking up in the journal. Ty Card, the drawing it. Anthony Gentile, we're out there marking it out. Jerry O'Shea did a lot of work. He has a lot of good records in engineering. And then Sharon Gracie and Matthew Perry from Painting House.
I want folks to remember that we approved us taking up to $4 million, and that's been approved by MWRA, that Newton can take up to $4 million to pay for this program. And so I just want to keep that in mind. We've already expended some money because we're able to use our reserves and then pay it back. But the no interest loan we've accepted is up to $4 million. So Cheryl, you had a question?
Well, I think Ruth Ann was before me.
Oh.
Okay, so there was another slide that said, was it 78% or 75% of the...
78%.
Okay, so...
Return the right-of-way.
Okay, so what are we doing to reach... I know we already sent us something, but you're going out to bid and all of this is happening. So what are you doing to reach... Are you going to re-reach the 22%?
Yeah, 78% return to utilities now. We're going to have to go out and, knock on doors.
Is that the
phone
plan?
Phone calls, yeah. It's also critical that this letter that goes out to the homeowners, we've got to get it out shortly after it goes out the bid, because you figure that...
Which letter?
The
one after to the 78%?
To all of them.
Or to all of them.
So how the program's going to work?
This letter, this certified letter, has to go out describing all this stuff, and we want to send it out shortly after we put the bid package out, because we need to get these people and reach all these people and make sure that they're on board, so that when we award the contractor can look and see how he's going to stage the construction and move sequentially throughout the city. You don't want to, have these letters roll in if the contractor's trying to mobilize because he doesn't want to jump all around the city, obviously. So, this is going to be a big effort. Here, trying to get that letter out and get everybody notified.
So that will be notifying them of the program. Will it also be, because you already sent a letter out, will it be that, will you incorporate that letter also? Or
no, it'll be a lot more detailed letter.
And this, but this will say if you want to...
We
encourage you to do it, and you need to call by this date.
Yeah, we put a timeline on it.
So, but you are going to do door knocking in addition to the letter?
Whatever, if they don't get letters back, yes, we're going to have to.
Because that would affect the bid.
Yeah.
So I didn't see that in the timeline, though. Did I?
As far as the delivery of the letter?
How much time are you going to, once you get the letter out, are you going to give people to get back? So if you go out to bid and then you say this is it, and someone sends you a letter later.
We never say this is it.
Yeah. No. Well,
you know,
that we can do the work in waves. We don't need to do it all at once.
No, but he wanted to have it planned.
I want to get as many people on board as possible.
So they can say they do this area.
So you've got to go, this letter's got to go out like the beginning of March. Like I said, in this letter, you've got to detail his payment plan. So, I need to finalize the information to put in the letter.
I wouldn't wait till the beginning of March.
We have to make a decision about what the payment plan is going to be. Right. And that has to be voted by your full council before you can send a letter out. So it tells me that it's important for us to really get into the meter.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm just saying this by people that we've already sent letters.
On this point?
Yeah.
So,
exactly how it works is really important. I'm glad Cheryl's asking questions. In addition to that, I think we've got a really important policy question tonight, which is, in the past, over the years, if you had a problem with your private water line, you fixed it yourself and you paid for it. This is an unusual situation where we have a loan from the state at no interest, and I think what some of us have been talking about is offering that to the homeowners, but having them repay it in full so that they're getting, and that's saying this correctly,
zero interest loan.
It gets a little bit tricky though, because the exact cost for each individual property, we can give them an estimate now, but the actual cost won't be known until the contractor really gets in each individual situation. So there's going to be, we may estimate $5,000, it may turn out to be $6,000, and explaining that to folks, explaining how the loan works and how to repay and how they have to pay for it and when.
But they have the ultimate say. If it comes in at, if it was estimated at $4,000 and it comes in at $7,000, the homeowner still has the right to say, well, I don't want to pay that much and just not and decide
and
not to do it.
Right, and the key is, and I wouldn't, in this letter, I wouldn't put the cost in places. I would put language basically saying that, you know, you obviously have a suspected lead service, you know that because we sent you a letter. You know, you've got one of the oldest services in the city. Eventually, it's outused or it's outlived its useful life. We've got this program together. If you use the economy of scale, you're not going to be able to replace your service any cheaper going down the road. It's at least 6 months after we replace it in the street. You own it. And, you know, if you've got to hire a contractor to come back in here to do that, to mobilize just for you when this guy's pulled out, you're going to be spending two to probably three times more money. So you got to, you know, I'm imagining putting that kind of verbiage in the letter to, you know, encourage them. And like I said, regardless if it's lead or iron, because you're going to find a lot of these are iron.
And to repeat also something Ted said earlier, when we replace our city portion of it, by doing that, if the homeowner chooses not to replace their portion, we're very likely, in some instances, to cause them problems because the pressure coming from the city new pipe is going to not be compatible with their old circulated pipe, so that
it'll increase the pressure of the lot.
Those folks who say, boy, money's really tight right now, I'd love to replace my lead pipe, I just can't afford to do it, I'm sorry, city, no.
They're going to have to.
If
it's $2,000 or $3,000 and they can pay it over 10 years, no interest, divided by 4 quarters, because it'll go on your bill.
It would be treated as a betterment.
Yeah. You're on a fixed income, though it could be an issue. So say they say no, and we do that. I'm sorry.
So say they say no,
and we do this, and it causes them issues, and the city has caused them issues. Should we mention, and should we allude to that in the letter? That this could cause this kind of thing, you have to do it.
Why don't you write the letter? When you want everybody to start going on.
By ordinance, they're responsible for the condition of their place.
Right.
In their property.
Understand.
So, you know, you could put some of that language in the letter
you know, quote the ordinance or that portion of the ordinance saying, listen, you know, you're responsible for it. We're offering you a great deal here.
Okay, so remember what we need to do tonight is agree on what we think a fair financing plan is for the homeowner that both provides an incentive but not a subsidy, is where we think, where some of us think is what we might do. So do you have anything else?
No, I think I agree with your plan to offer the loan.
Oh, good, that's helpful. So you're leaving to be all done.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. No worries.
Okay. So we'll give the message that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Blaine, then Barbara, then Mark.
So I think overall it's a good deal for the homeowner. I think that, and I'm going to make a motion that we move forward with the plan and that we offer the homeowners the same terms that we get. Whatever their bill is for their portion, that they have 10 years to pay it back at interest only, and that either becomes the city gets back to us whether or not it's a betterment on their tax bill or on their water and sewer bill. I think it needs to be on their tax bill, on the real estate. But, you know, we can figure that out. So I want to make that motion. And then the only thing I want to point out, which is different, it will require some explaining, but I agree with it. Normally, when we do things like this, we leave it up to the homeowner that if they want to use a private contractor, you know, whether it's water or sewer, that they can go out and get a private contractor. But from what I'm seeing, you're saying that the city's going to have that, we're going to have our own contractor, and if you want to participate in the program, you are, you know, you're going to have to use the city's contractor. Is that what I'm hearing? All right, I'm fine with that, but if that's what we're doing, we got to stick with it. And then to Cheryl's earlier point, the way we do business in this city is if somebody in January of 2017 gets wind of this program and whatever, didn't hear of it, I don't think we're going to say to them, you can't participate because you didn't respond to us, you know, 6 months ago. You're going to have the money. They'll be, you know, in the third or fourth wave. But if somebody misses it, we're going to let them participate. We want them to do this. So I just want that on the record that we're not going to hold anybody to a fact, you know, to a deadline.
No. The deadline there just incentivize them so that we can coordinate the construction. You know, this number 584 calls in June of 2018. The contractor's still in town. We're going to go.
It's going to be some kind of a unit cost. So they don't need to know exactly how many services they're going to be doing. They have an idea of how many there are potentially, and then they'll come up with some kind of a unit cost, right?
Yeah, so that it's all
right, so with unit price, so
it's not going out to bid for that many.
Okay. Matter of fact, I think it's in your past.
Okay.
Because all the housing is in here now. Why real estate versus water? Because I think it's customarily how we're used to doing betterments, and so I think it's already the system's in place.
Okay.
It becomes a lien, it gets registered. I just think if you think there's a better way of doing it.
I'm trying to see how we do a betterment, and I think
it just makes life easier here.
I'm going to suggest that that's not a decision we have to make.
That's right, you're right.
And I think, you know, also we'll have to discuss what does that mean in terms of using money from the sewer reserve and then paying it back with those MWRs, a loan. Yeah, so I'm imagining it could get complicated if we change out, but I don't want, I just think that's a topic for finance and to talk about with Maureen and so forth. Okay. So, Lenny, are you all?
I'm done. I made a motion.
Yes, you did, but there are a couple other
things. I know, I'm just saying.
So we're going to hold on to that motion to, which we'll rephrase in a bit, with Barbara and then Mark.
Thank you. I was wondering, for those people who qualify, I don't remember what the program's called, but they don't have to pay certain taxes, they don't, so some level of income that excludes them from certain taxes and stuff, you know what I'm talking about? I'm wondering if there's anything we can do, I don't know, is there, like, for those people who clearly already qualify for help, is there a way for something like this to help beyond this offering? Because we do want, and that maybe it could be fine, it could be three people, it could be, you know.
This isn't a good answer, but I just want to put this on the table. Folks who can't pay their water bill don't, and it happens a lot. I mean, it's
one without qualifying for anything, they just kind of
don't. They don't, and so it becomes a lien on the house. You can't sell your house until you satisfy your water bill, and so the water bill, like when you probably see this in your work.
And because some people who can't afford to do it intentionally because they're of the belief that from a tax standpoint, you're better off to do it and have the lien. So it's not just people who can't afford to pay. Right, Lou?
Yeah, because you can deduct your real estate taxes from your income taxes, you can deduct your water bill from your income taxes. So some people potentially won't pay.
I don't know, but I'm talking about the people who have qualified, who have to answer that for this. I just don't know. Yeah, it's just a question, because if there's someone who truly would like to, but literally cannot, you know what I mean, if they're on some sort of 15 somewhere, that's not going to be beyond what they can do, since it's been our benefit as a city to have them fix their line.
So are you saying if the city would pay
100%? I don't know. I don't know. Just if people are interested in...
Is that a question for Rob Zemanski to look into?
I would think it would be between Maureen and Lena.
But I'm wondering who... we're joined by Nikki Danberg, the chancellor at Barnes & Worthit. But is that something you all would take? Can you take that from here and look into that for us? Thank you.
And then my other was just a comment talking about these people who have gotten a letter, they've probably had someone knock on their door, but they're still maybe we as the counselors and also the staff, if there's yet more publicity we could do for those people who, for whatever reason, don't look at the mail, don't. You know, this is one more way to try to get everyone on board as soon as possible.
We had the same issue when we were replacing the water
meter.
And we're still not out. We can still correct it and still have 100.
And you had one that kind of talked about that.
So it's that same issue where you only get, it's only 50% participation. What we don't want is to have this program fail and say, well, we got 80% of the.
So we're doing something about the water meter program. In fact, later tonight when we go into the ordinances, we're going to give the department and authority to shut the water off because replacing the meters is a requirement.
This is not a requirement.
This is not a requirement, so I don't know how we get at that.
Those affect everybody.
It does, and that, you know, I don't know, we have to have another conversation, and Law would have to be here, who I thought might be here for the ordinances tonight, but they would have to be here, too, to talk about what authority we might be able to grant you, if any, on an optional program. That's a good question. Is that it?
Yep.
Okay. Mark.
So, I fully agree with Lenny's comments, and I also appreciate and support Barbara's concerns as well. My only real, I think it's a great program. My only question or suggestion is, when you draft your letter, that somebody in the legal department look at it very carefully before it goes out, both for the legality issues and just, you know, a fresh pair of eyes or two would be helpful, because this is a state communication to a lot of people, and we want to make sure portrayed, written in kind of well thought out plain English, so you get
it. Everybody will see it. Regal, Maureen, Counselor, you know, because you may end up getting some phone calls and you know what's going on. No, it'll be better.
Okay, perfect. Great, thank you.
So, anybody else? Okay, so we have a motion on the table by Councilor Gentile to approve offering of the MWRA zero interest for 10 years loan financing program to homeowners who would use it to replace the water service lines on their properties as part of the lead service line replacement program, that we would extend that to them. This is going to finance, and so I was actually going to suggest that the department could draft that letter ahead of the meeting of finance. That would probably be very helpful. Finance meeting on Monday, Len?
Yes, we're taking it up Monday.
I would think that would be helpful. It doesn't need to be the final draft, but I said it would be helpful.
Even more, would be more helpful, not more helpful, but it would be good also to know what the administration is thinking about how we would do the betterment. I think that's important to finance.
The one other thing I think I'd like to put on the table, I don't think I heard, is that there's a limitation on how much money the city will finance on the private property side. For example, we're not going to pay for the homeowners taking apart and putting that together, a stone wall or unusual landscaping and that sort of thing. So loan and seed only?
Right.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that everybody hears that.
And that's typically, when we replace a service, or when a service needs to be replaced in private property, it always has been since I've been here, where the homeowner will contract with the contractor. They'll come in, they'll do the excavation. We come in, we relay the pipe, and then he backfills and does all the restoration.
Okay. All right, so we have 2 minutes to vote, but I realize you came in late, but
yes, just one question. Is this the full list of all of the lead pipes in the city, or is it just a...
Yes.
Yes.
Is that the individual address?
All that have been identified.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's right here.
So, Luke?
That has been identified.
That has been identified. Yeah. All right. So, all that have been identified through a very rigorous process, we've proceeded to a full presentation of. So, I have this motion on the table to extend the MWRA loan term to private residences, all in favor. It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Just in the nick of time for at least two of you to go up and right? Or just one of you?
I want to come up with it.
Oh, excellent.
I get to go over at some point.
Go to them.
We all want to get over this stuff.
Well, I know we all do. So we have a number of things to discuss. So I need to keep a quorum here.
I'm just going to go get my agenda.
Okay. So we're going to go back to the first page, the second item, 13-17. The mayor requesting authorization transfer $55,000 from DPW Engineering, full-time salaries account to DPW. To the Department of Public Works Engineering Services account for consultants, final engineering design for Newton Corner ADA ramp and sidewalk improvements project. Commissioner McGonigal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the request is for a transfer of funds to hire engineering firm for improvements being done at Newton Corner through the CDBG fund. We lost our in-house design engineer who we had planned to do this project this past summer. So that is to hire a firm to do this. We'd like to have this project done before fall of this year. So that's designed, the work to be done out there. It's all pedestrian improvements, curb cuts, APS installations, removing the brick out there that's falling apart in the sidewalk,
We'd be happy to send out the map with the list of work that we're doing on that also.
This is CDBG project, the CDBG Defensive Engineering?
No, not in this case, because we had assumed that we would do this in-house and we had originally developed it.
CDBG's not covering the whole project plan.
There's also $75,000 of public works funds that are coming out of our operating budget to supplement it.
And there's also Canadian Disability.
There's some COD funds in this whole project also.
Okay.
It's
Disability is really easy.
I understand.
May I just ask, so what's the full budget for this project?
$353,000.
So, Commissioner, a couple things. I think it might be helpful for at least for finance or get it into the packet so that the council can see the full scope of the work. Because we've been talking about this for quite a while. And we had had some meetings with the neighborhood that you participated in as it was actually here.
Yeah.
So at the time we had had those discussions, though, we were sort of getting underway. Was it because Greg had left that, because I had a lot of residents saying, you know, we had the meeting at City Hall, it was great, seemed to be some low-hanging fruit, and we haven't addressed much, or maybe we have, and they're just not aware of it.
So we have started some work out there already. Yeah. Highway has done some of the curb cuts that they can do.
Yeah.
The remaining work is work that we're probably going to have to do at night. We're going to be closing off. We're going to be working out there on Washington Street during the day. So that's where the design will be, so we can put this out to bid along with the ATF.
So I only ask because, if you recall, over the summer, we had a pretty big conference call with everybody, and there was a real push to get things going, and then we had them here, and then it sort of came to stop, and that's what people have been asking about.
So. Right, so that's, right after that, we lost Greg Swan, who's our design engineer, who was leading this whole project. Good news is we just made an offer to another design engineer who probably can't start until April, so that's why we don't want to stall this any longer. We need to move this forward.
So I think for finance, and then if you can get it in the packet, it would be good to
have a
I apologize.
I'm sorry. Financial breakdown, too.
It's all on the
packet.
We'll make sure we get that in the packet.
Thank you.
And normally we would, does this involve major roadway reconfigurations or is it
just
no. For instance, sidewalks.
And it's
not
really improvements?
Sidewalks.
Oh,
I'm Howard Island.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The roadways.
Parks will be doing some landscape improvements in the islands also.
But we're not going to be reconfigurating the edge of 17.
I don't think we need this.
We'll put it in the packet, though.
Okay. All right, thanks. You're all set? Okay.
So just quickly, if we do this work and we later on do a larger project in the Newton Corner area to really reconfigure things, is this stuff that we can reuse or... we're going to have to do it over again.
Yes, the ATF signals would be able to be renewed, and we're doing, the majority of this work is curb cuts and crosswalks that are in rough condition right now, so it wouldn't be impacting any of that work.
Okay.
So is any of this money in the CIP, or is you're asking us for a transfer of funds from one department to another. That's no heavy lift. But the project in total is $353,000, and we're just getting kind of a verbal description of it and points on a map. So, and there's some CDBG money going into this, and there's some city money going into this. Is this something that has been planned as part of the road work in the CIP, or is this in addition? This
year's budget? Yes, this is in addition. This was planned last year. This started out as a fairly small project, but once we went out there and walked around and saw the deficiencies out there, we did add some scope of work in there, and also we're current APS signals which aren't operating, so it really brought to light some issues that we have out there. And CDBG was able to increase their funding allotment for this project.
So are we going to be getting another request for funds coming from somewhere else?
No, there won't be any other request for funds that I'm aware of that have to come before the committee. It's CDBG, COD, and $75,000 is out of the Public Works operating budget.
Oh, okay.
We met with the area councils on this, and also the Newton Corner.
The Newton Corner Advisory Committee that oversees the CDBG funding.
Yes.
And then the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. There, so it was sort of a joint meeting that we have here.
Okay. I'm fine. Anybody else?
Yeah. I'll move forward.
We have a motion to approve. And move it to finance. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have a request for request for $121,000 from CREPAS for the purpose of funding additional design engineering services for construction documents, I presume, for the West Eaton Square rehabilitation project.
Yes, this request is for additional funding for design of the West Newton project that would bring the design total to $371,000. Initially, we had asked for $250,000. This was our first real test of complete creep projects. The elements that are going in out there are all the state-of-the-art signals, lighting, and also some stormwater improvements. So the funding and design was more than we had originally anticipated.
So if I approve this money, I mean, I've only heard rumors. Am I signing on to a plan that will prevent people from taking a left and getting onto Watertown Street?
You can't take a left.
Left.
Yeah.
Like where it forks
yeah.
There,
yeah.
Yes.
No. What the designers are proposing is eliminating the light coming from Washington Street to Watertown Street. If they're seeing lights coming back,
okay.
That's what they're proposing. No one's proposing eliminating the left turn from Washington Street and Eastbound to Watertown Street.
Right.
That Route 15, that would be
Thank you.
It is the right hand turn. Can I stand that open space there? The turns there were very limited when they did the counts there for that right hand turn.
15 for any of that.
They were very low.
You'll have people turning on some of your residential streets earlier, but you can explain that. I mean, I don't see the need to eliminate it, but I don't think it's the end of the year. Well, I was told we were going to prevent people from taking a left on water. Oh, thank God.
I know I've seen the presentation, but I can't remember if we saw it here or if I saw it in another meeting.
I don't believe it was
there.
I was here when we presented.
No, I think we were out of town. We got a fairly detailed plan. So I think that what happened in the interim is it was approved by the community and the various meetings that you as a direction that you want to go in.
Yes.
we're focused on an approved concept design now and then.
Is there an in-house project manager overseeing? Because this is all going to be subbed out, right?
Yes, we will have residents. Engineer overseeing this project for us.
You have that person?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Jimmy DeVoy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Sorry, Mark.
So, the budget for this has gone up 50%. The 250 is now another 120,000. What changed? I mean, was it that the estimating was off initially? The scope of work is bigger. What caused that, and what can we do to make sure that doesn't happen on the project?
Right. So this was our first real complete streets project. So initially, when we scoped this out, this was really signal changes and sidewalk widening. Now it's gone into, we have bike lanes incorporated. We're going to be using state-of-the-art street lights out there. There's also some stormwater improvements, which we hadn't anticipated originally. We're going to be collecting stormwater. Anything else I'm missing, Lou?
Well, just to follow up, we disclosed to you the last summer, 200,000. Correct. Yeah, we really didn't envision this much of a complete. We were writing a complete tree policy at the same time we told you for the funds for the design. So we really didn't realize the extent of scope of the design until we used the 200,000. So that's what came. The scope of the project came with all these stuff that the public had asked for, and we're going to try to provide. State of the art stuff, state of the art street lights, which dim at 2 a.m. and they'll come back on, and there's a lot of technology going into this project that we really didn't envision.
So is the estimate for the park itself gone up considerably too?
The estimate has gone up from $4 million to $4.5 million. We will anticipate, we have much better guidance now going forward because we understand what these projects are.
So when you do Newtonville, which I think is next, you're going to have a bigger budget for engineering?
Yes, we've already incorporated that. So we have learned from that.
Okay, I'm fine.
And as I understand, there's money coming from other sources too, so the total cost, the total value, let's say, of the project could be higher.
There's a potential grant, but the value of it's really only $100,000. So it's not significant funds, but that if that is something you're planning to working on incorporating into the project.
Okay. Thanks,
So you said that initially you didn't incorporate the Complete Street, Smart Street, it's been a long day, so initially you didn't incorporate that, but now that we have it, so that was an extra, $500,000 altogether in the project?
Yes, it's just added $500,000.
Okay, so what percentage is that? Where's the exam when I need it? What percentage is that of?
12.5%.
Okay, so if that's, so, and that includes, you said, the lights, the drainage, the bike lanes. So, as a policy, we have decided to do the complete streets. So, now we know that every project coming up will be that much more. So we have factored that into.
Yes, we're not, like Newton, we'll use Newtonville as the next example. We look at Newtonville, we're probably not going to have a bike lane on Newtonville. We may have sharrows, because by the time we widen the sidewalks there, we're not going to have room to do that. So it's not going to be that. We're not going to force things where they shouldn't be.
Well, then how the hell are you going to fit in a bike lane in West Newton? It's a lot more narrow than Newtonville.
The community, we showed the conceptuals, and the community embraced it.
Washington's lighter and long.
Huh?
Yeah, they love the plan.
So, okay. No, it's just good to know. If we're looking at our CIP, 5, 10 years into the future, we should change our,
is a 3-day
conservative when we put the numbers in here.
Yes, and we will be going. Like I said, we had quite an education throughout this process with public meetings and also the increase in the design fees.
Thank you.
Okay.
My name's Daniel Spike.
Okay, you
did it. when we widen the sidewalks in this village and in the other villages, do we have to move all the storm drains and the sewers and all this? And that's a good piece of the cost.
If the storm drains will add significant cost to that. So of course, we do have to do that. We're seeing that going forward. So.
Okay.
There are these hidden costs that weren't in these projects in the past.
And that's factored into the money for the project as a whole. It's not coming out of the storm water fund?
No, there's no impact on the storm water fund. It's part of the project.
All right. So, Barbara.
I would like to move approval.
Okay. Excellent. We have a motion to approve from Councilor Glazer. I want to see that.
I want to see a ride with a meeting one night, Lenny.
My new bike.
Once you've got the bike, Lenny, that's Lenny will be doing it.
I'm going to walk around and kill everybody.
Yeah, but on the web,
no, then the
garage,
so
then,
no, but then we, no, it's
a lot of it.
Right. So, yeah,
that's
very
epic.
With the
glass
one.
Yeah.
What
is
it?
That was
okay.
Wow.
Thanks, everybody. You should not
leave all the time. It's like an urban life, you know, one of those.
Yeah, two ones safe up here.
All right, moving on.
No,
we have some really exciting amendments to the water sewer ordinances. The first one is 3117. The Honorable Mayor proposing an ordinance amendment to remove Section 29-67A sewer cleaning fees from the City of Newton revised ordinance of 2012.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask Ted Gurdy to speak to this because there's no one in the city who has more experience in this than Ted. So, Ted, you want to
and we have this one pager. If somebody doesn't know what we're talking about, it's not in your packet. It was on your desk on Monday and it's on this table now.
It's in the packet.
Yeah. It was not in the packet.
The short answer is we're doing work for private citizens and we're charging the fee and we don't want to do that any longer.
Well, you know, I've been here quite a while, and we looked at the number of services that we did. We went back to fiscal 09, but going even farther back than that, I can remember we provided service to like over 600 clients and or residents in Newton.
For $25.
For $25. And there is, do I have it on here?
Yeah, we went up to.
There's about 24,000 sewer connections. Since fiscal 10, it's steadily declined from 425 residents down to fiscal 16, we're doing 131. But the biggest thing is you know, to provide this service, it takes anywhere from 2 to 3 people. It requires the bathroom, which is, you know, a $400,000 piece of equipment. And it's not necessarily used all the time, you know, in particular circumstances. So, and you go out to these people, and these 131 are people that we've been servicing for years and years and years that just refuse to fix the problem. You know, they've got root intrusion, or they've got a break in grade, and
so
we're exhausting, you know, resources, equipment, and labor to go out there and do it. When we boosted up the rates, you know, from what I can recall, we boosted up the rates back in
4 years ago.
Yeah, did that deter people?
Yes. It went from 400 to 250 to, like I say, we're going down to 131. So, but I need those people and that equipment to reallocate. You know, we've had a lot of requests for a lot more cleaning and TV work. Actually, I do a lot for engineering when they need it. Flushing dead-end sewer mains where you have a high risk of having main blockages because of the flows. We've gotten ton more requests for doing dig safe markouts with everybody opening up streets around here. And then, you know, with the NIFI permit, there's more stormwater issues. So I'd like to get out of worrying about
private infrastructure and take these resources to allocate towards the public.
So I want to say that you had me at remove.
Yeah.
And Lucanne and I are particularly thrilled at getting rid of this part of the ordinance. So
on motion?
Can I get a question?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Question.
So now is this something that these people will just have to hire their own?
They would call it just the commercial drain cleaning company.
They would, okay.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they any Roto-Rooter, Clodbusters.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is one of those services that historically that there weren't a lot of people out there doing it. Now,
you
won't have a problem finding a contract. Is
that a motion?
Just quickly, when we had raised the fees that time, X amount of years ago, we had raised them to be comparable to those services.
Correct.
That was it. So, is it still the same, or is it? Is it somewhat comparable for private?
It varies. It may be a little bit higher.
Okay, I was just curious because we had talked about that at that time. Was
I know they the TV line is they'll get $300-$400. That's unbelievable, and you know it's not you know. Some lady that's low income or struggling or whatever, I mean, we'll always go out and do it. We can do it for time and material. Just like we've tried to get out of repairing private service lines, you know. But, you know, if an 82-year-old resident calls me, I'm not going to hand her a contractor's list and say, go find a contractor. You know, we will go out and do it if it falls within our scope of work. And we still do.
One of the reasons that we've offered this service in the past is that it's not always easy to determine what the cause of the problem is. And so what about a situation where it may be a city street tree that is at the root of the problem? Which happens.
Yeah.
It happens at a property that I have, and shame on me. I actually haven't called to get it done in several years. I always call when it's too late. But what about that situation? How do you know where we could very well be the cause of the?
Well, you know, this has been doesn't happen a lot. But, you know, like I said, I'm dealing with the lady over on Evelyn Road, I think, and it's like the chicken and the egg, you know. What the logic that I use is that as a homeowner, similar to the water service, you are responsible for the condition of that pipe. Now, did the tree get roots get in there because the tree broke the pipe, or did the pipe settle and roots get in there? You don't know. What we do, though, is, you know, they'll call an independent drain cleaning company to come in there, and they'll rot it out, and sometimes they'll televise it, or they'll say, oh, I'm out 42 feet, and that's where the city tree is. And I'll have the homeowner call me, and we'll go out there, and we'll televise it. If we can use our high-pressure jet truck, we've got root cutters that we can put on it. You know, we'll try to take care of the problem for them. And then, like you say, you don't want to open up that can of worms because, you know, there's a lot of trees that impact sewer service lines. And, you know, if you do it for one person, it's going to be busy. My
understanding from all of years on water sewer is that it's a very rare circumstance that the pipe isn't extremely old and failing, and because it has cracks in it or cracks at the joints or whatever, the tree roots get in because they go for the water.
They go for the water. Mm-hmm.
And it makes something worse, but it's really hard to blame a tree for having an old, you know, 100-year-old pipe or whatever in the deteriorate.
All right, so even though we're now down to 130 or 140, mm-hmm. you still think that that's too many to manage or deal with, or your time is at a stand, so you really think that this is the time to do this?
I think it's the time to do it. It's just, you know, you've got, you know, we try to schedule, when people call, we try to schedule it on Monday or Tuesday, but then, you know, people will call on Wednesday. You know, I got a blocker here Thursday, and I've got the crew out cleaning public sewers or whatever. And we try to, you know, we'll try to say, well, you can't, you don't have the personnel right now. You're going to have to call a private drain cleaning company. Or if we're available, then we'll go over there. But it gets disruptive. And it's 131, and things right now, we're just over 50. We've probably got 50 so far this year, maybe 60 so far. So it's steadily decreasing.
All right. So I get what, about 30 days?
That's what others do. That's the other thing. I mean, I don't know when you want to put this into effect. You want to put it
there. Oh, believe me, no, trust me. You try calling Roto-Rooter and have it. The city's price is still much more reasonable than a private company.
We cut those rates 4 years ago.
Yep.
Well, we did 1 year. We came in years ago. We came in here, and it used to be
25,
50, and I think 100 for overtime. And we wanted to raise them, and we ended up reducing them. I don't know why.
All right, I get it.
So, and then Mark had a motion.
Okay, I'm in favor of doing away with the service. I think it's time for us to use our resources where we need to use them. The question that I have that I don't know that anybody here in this room can answer, Lou, do you know if when we plant new trees now, do the tree planters have any idea where the pipes are? Do they try to go between the houses, or are we planting trees near pipes still?
They'll call us to mark out.
We'll get them up on sewer and water.
Okay. So we're not planning.
This issue happened 100 years ago.
Yeah.
When the sewer lateral was installed 100 years ago, then they went around and planted trees with a diameter of 2 inches.
Yeah.
They weren't really diligent about locating the trees away from the sewer. And now the tree is some 4 inches or 36 inches, and it's encroaching upon the sewer.
Yeah, okay. So we're doing a better job now, so okay.
Yeah, usually what happens is the sewer and the water are pretty close to each other, and the water shutoff valve is in the border. So there's been a number of times where they went to plant them and they hit that. So now we mark both of them out when we go to plant the tree.
So I believe Mark made a motion. We ready?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you so much. Okay, one more ordinance. Item 26-17. Okay, so Ted, you take this
off. You got it.
Okay, good. 26-17, Commissioner of Public Works, proposing revisions to Article 2, Section 29-26, inspection of water taker premises, to include language to allow the city to shut the water off properties with proper notice in order to allow for the city to inspect, repair, or replace water meters.
Water taker. I like that.
When you're a water taker, you take water.
I know.
We all take water. I know, it's one of those, you know, from olden days, water.
Yeah.
So we have this too in this packet. I think it's also on the table.
Yeah.
The packet we got Monday night on our table. So, Ted, would you like to walk us through this? I think it's.
Yeah. Well, you know, the old ordinance, section 29-26, was inspection water takers premises. And it basically said that all premises where water is taken may at any reasonable time be inspected by a properly authorized officer of the Public Works Department fully full authority is given to the Commissioner of Public Works to order such inspection whenever he shall deem it for the interest of the Public Works Department. So, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've got, and this, you know, this goes back to when we changed meters out, and, you know, the contractor was required that by the time everything was said and done, I think the homeowner got notified 7 times by letters, by phone calls, by a couple visits. Then they turned it over to us. We did door hangers. These are some of them we use now, basically for our AMR system, and it'll tell you what we're looking at. But anyway, it's just, I've got about 100 meters, actually 90. We got rid of 2 of them today. And the only reason we got rid of them is because they had like $50,000 worth of liens on their property and they wanted to sell. And I wouldn't read them, give them a final reading, so we were allowed to change the meters. That's really the only time that you can get access. I've got a couple that during the process of changing the meters out, flat out refused and said, "You're not changing the meters. I'm not letting you in to change the meters." I've got, we put in this AMR system and there's a failure rate. There's about a 1 to 1.5% failure rate a year. If you take 27,000 meters, it's about 300 meters that are going to fail that you're somehow going to have to get in there and repair. There's also, during the AMR program, the original contractor product, the transponders, didn't meet the specifications. So after he installed 95% of them and only 80% were getting reads, he had to go back and take all those out and replace them with a new type of transponder. There's still some of those out there where we have, you know, the old RCM, so we can't read the meters. So anyway, I asked Bob Waddick to look at this and see if, you know, in this section we could put some type of language where by proper notification, certified letter to the owner, because it's, you got to go to the owner, not the tenant, because the tenant, you know, doesn't respond as well. But anyway, so basically he rewrote the ordinance. It says the Commissioner of Public Works or his authorized designee may, upon the permission of the owner or person in control of the premises where the water station, enter such premises at any reasonable time for the purpose of making inspections, repairs, removals, or replacements of water meters and appurtenances. And then B, F8, paragraph A, B, if entry to the water taker's premises is not permitted within 60 days after a written request from the commissioner or his designee is served upon the owner of record by certified mail, then the commissioner may cut off the water supply to the premises. Water shall not be turned on again until entry to the premises for the purpose stated in the foregoing paragraph is permitted. The other thing is that we started in October. We started sending out certified letters beginning November 15th to all accounts that had 4+ estimates. There was 203 letters sent to date. There's 67 scheduled appointments, and 34 of those we've completed. So there's 137 that didn't respond to a certified letter. So, you know, like I said, I've got 100 meters, I got about 800 campers. You know, there's other issues like irrigation meters. I've got, I still have 191 transponders that were picked up that, you know, we gave out gratis that are still out there. We've sent letters out. You know, I was talking with Kathy, and I don't want to check with Maureen, but I wanted to still send them, or put a $120 service charge on their domestic bill. But in truth, what you would like to do is you'd like to get in there and inspect the property, because if they wanted an MCU, they may have put an irrigation meter in there and just not hooked up the MCU or called ISD to pull a permit. So we were talking about sending out certified letters there. Well, you know, if you're going to send out a certified letter, in my opinion, you got to have some beef on it. And if you tell them that, you know, you got 60 days to respond or we're going to come shut your water off, I think they might return the call.
I think we have a bunch of questions, so or comments, and we'll start with Scott. And
okay, on this, so also, how many folks do we have currently right now that could potentially get the water shut off based on estimate? Is that what you're saying?
Based on, well, if the certified letters that were sent,
yeah,
you're talking about 137.
So of the 137, how many of those folks are still, like, they continue to pay?
I think they all pay.
So the question I'm getting at, to me, shutting off the water seems a little drastic. Just putting that on the table.
Sure.
But I know this is something that you need to do. So my question was, if they are still taking water, and then they're still paying the bill,
does it
what I'm saying, what we used to do is, like, didn't we throw, you know, $1,000 charge on there, and all of a sudden that makes them, you know, they can call in and why am I getting this charge? It's like, well, you got the charge because there's an issue. Well, we used to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Did that work? I mean, that seems to have worked.
Yeah.
If you get people's attention that would have so many estimates for so long, and all of a sudden they get this charge, they turn, all of a sudden turn around and call instead of paying the $50 estimate that they've been paying for the longest time, because that's what it was, you know, based on, and all of a sudden you whack them, they would call.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know how effective that was.
I couldn't tell you, because it's been a long time. I mean, that goes back before we even changed the meters out. And I know it became such an issue because of the abatement process that you got to go through once they fess up or you read the meter, and then there's a billing abatement process that I guess isn't the easiest thing to do. I ran into an issue over on Hammond Street where the guy had a $30,000 bill. You know, he had two old meters in there, never changed them out. And, you know, even though we, on the bill, you know, there's a memo on there that says it's an estimated bill, da 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 da. Well, the guy goes, I never see my bill, my accountant pays for it. So this guy, you know, his accountant's paying the water bill, and you know, now all of a sudden, and I don't know why it came to a head or whatever,
I'm just curious, so I don't necessarily need an answer right now. I just wanted to put that on the table, A and then B. You know, obviously you worked with us with a lot of partners. I thought there was some other, you know, statutory regulation that you couldn't shut people's water off.
I know, from my understanding, they don't pay it. I don't know, and I don't want to charge my water off.
No, I get it.
I just, you know.
But they're going to get prior notice.
Well, they're going to get prior notice, and if I said...
No, but they're going to get notice that we're going to shut the water off.
I'm just trying to find a mechanism to have them say, resend more letters, do the alienation.
And if we shut the water off, I mean, it's not like we're going to shut it off at 2:30 and the guys are going to go home. You know, they're going to shut it off and they're going to be right there. You know, when they show up and... Or place a call to the police department, and you know my emergency guy is going to go out there and resolve the problem. So we would never just leave. And you'd also have to check with health to make sure there's no medical issues.
So Vicki and Phil.
Okay. First of all, I'm curious, Scott. Do you have any suggestion as to, you know, if we wouldn't go to the route of shutting the water off, what we could do to get them to respond? If they haven't responded to seven letters, $1,000. Reinstituting the $1,000.
That might have even been higher.
How many years ago did we stop doing that?
That was a while ago.
Well, the meter change-out program started in February 2010. And I know that when we were doing city staff or whatever, I mean, there was millions of dollars worth of abatements that we were abating at that time. It was phenomenal. And then there was, you know, there was some reason that they just stopped it. And I want to say it was because of that. It was because of trying to reinstate the abatement.
When we get into a house that we've given 7 letters to and they haven't responded, and finally, because they want to sell the house or something else, finally we get in there, is there a pattern to the reason why they haven't let us in?
There's been a couple instances where they have had, when the meter change-out program was put, when they went in there to hang the new meter, the price coming through the wall was in such bad shape that they, you know, it had to be replaced in order to reinstall the meter.
And it has to be replaced at the cost, at the
homeowner's cost.
The homeowner's expense. Mm-hmm. And so that the homeowners know that they've got a big expense and don't want to,
right,
and either can't or don't want to do that. And what happens if it's an older person and you need to replace the pipe to
it? We've done it. We've done it in-house. Mm-hmm. And I think there used to be a payment plan. There used to be, I'm not sure, but I think they want to discontinue that in December, if I'm not mistaken.
Do we then put a lien on the house for the amount that it costs the city to replace the pipe work, or how does that work?
I'm trying to think what we've done in the past. I want to say, if we go in there and do it, I want to say they pay. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, we go in there and do it at a fraction of the cost to try to pull the pipe. There's, you know, the one on Hammond Street, for example, it was a line that came in under, you know, a concrete, beautiful stone port, mm-hmm. You know, and you couldn't have pulled it, and, you know, everybody kept saying, you gotta change the pipe, you gotta change the pipe. Well, finally went in there, and my guy just took the chance, and they actually took the old meters off, put the new meters on, and then actually restrained the meters into the foundation, mm-hmm. So it wouldn't blow off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the risk you run. You don't want to go in there and change the meter, and then
have it
2 weeks later blows off, and, you know, they'll be filing a claim too.
Yeah, yeah. So I agree that we shouldn't just continue doing what we're doing and send another 7 letters to these people and not have them respond. You know, we get them to respond, whether it's putting $1,000 on them or threatening to shut off the water, I think we do need to make some move.
Okay, thanks, Charles and Mark.
First of all, it said reasonable time. What does that even mean? You could come in there at any time that it's a reasonable.
No.
I mean, I'm sure law, like, no law has gone through this, but what is there a definition of a reasonable time? I mean, we can come in there at a reasonable time and make the report. I mean, what is reasonable? Is that, like, do they have to be home, I would hope?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, maybe that's a law question, but
yeah.
Out of the, so we have 191 of those that are still, no, the transponders that people took and didn't pay for. I thought we had a meeting a few months ago where we talked about that and you were going to bill them. Was that, or will we talk about it? What was the last action?
Billing going forward. I think it was a year ago. We sent
letters out.
Right, did the letters
come? Telling them that if they don't, it's kind of convoluted. We sent letters out saying that you needed to respond within 30 days, or you were going to get billed for this.
Did we bill them?
what they started to do was, they started to set up like a fake account, what they call an irrigation account.
And
a billing down Kathy Zigarelli's. They set up an account, and it would bill for the transponder, and then quarterly bill $50. Because on the same premises Scott's saying is, we not only want you to pay for the transponder, but we want to get in there to make sure you didn't put an irrigation meter in there.
Right.
All right? So what she would do is she would set up this account, garden account, fee account, and bill. But if they count, you don't have a meter number. It's kind of, like I said, convoluted.
So they would track the billing?
And they would bill them 50, then 100, then 150.
But they weren't associating it with any particular meter?
We don't know, because there's no meter in there. They just have a transponder.
I thought we were just going to bill them for it or come back and take it if they're not going to use it.
We wrote the letter saying we'll pick it up. Keep in mind, this list was up for $400, $500.
Right, but it's still $191. So we should either say we should come and take it, or we're going to hook it up. Or just fill them completely for the whole thing.
I agree. I don't have a problem just sending them doing
it. We have the authority to bill them. And we asked you to last time, so you're saying they are billing them, but they're not really? Or are they?
They're billing. I don't have the exact numbers.
Okay.
Of what I just know that, because I talked to Kathy today, because I knew this was going to come up. After how many are out there, there's a handful of ones where they got an MTU, they pulled a plumbing permit, but the plumbing permit hasn't been closed out. There's ones where they took an MTU, pulled a plumbing permit, and they haven't heard anything.
We don't need the details. I just want to know. I just thought that we already talked about this and talked about billing.
We have.
Okay. So those need to. We need to just do that or pick them up or. And you mentioned that the repeaters or the transponders, that in 1.something% it's still not working. I spoke to someone the other day who is getting estimates, but they have a meter because the transponder is not working.
Correct.
Okay, so they got a new meter and they're still getting estimates.
Right. And I think
it was a big condo building.
This is what we hand out. We have guys going out every day, handing these out to residents that the transponders don't work for whatever reason. They go out and they'll check the transponder to make sure that it's powered. If there's power to it, but it's not transponding, then usually there's something wrong inside at the meter.
So you're saying it's this condo building that has the issue, or it just doesn't make it back as a topping over other things?
No, it's got to be a disconnect in the.
So it's not
inside the building.
Inside the building.
It has to be inside the building. Okay.
I mean, I can double check it if you give me the answer.
Okay.
So periodically there's failures, and you know right away when there's a failure.
You don't get a reading.
You don't get a reading, so...
It comes up, there's a report called a tamper report. There's a non-active report. If it's a non-active, that means it's a dead battery. If it's a tamper, it means there's something wrong. There's a disconnect with the wire between the transponder.
They've been getting estimates, but they were told it was somewhere else along the line. I have to figure out which number it was.
Okay, let's take that time.
When the 137 say you're going to send something out, I'm fine with filling them. I'm fine with threatening to shut it off. But when you do hook it up, do you
Well, no, you must have a real sense. You must have a real number of what there. It's not an estimate anymore. So you do go back. Is it retro? Do you build them for the past?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm okay with either way we want to do it, but we need to do it. No, the letters obviously are not working.
Well, I'd like to put in a plug for doing what the department would like to do. They've been suffering without the
support. Okay, fine. That'll get
time,
someone
that's
attention.
My opinion. And it's Mark and then Barbara.
So just to talk to Cheryl's point about the reasonable time, if you look at the preceding line, it says, may upon the permission of the owner or person in control of the premises, enter at any reasonable time. So it's subject to the permission of the owner. So I think that is a pretty reasonable proposition.
Okay.
Short and sweet, I'm fully in favor of this. I think it's ridiculous that people don't respond. Turn the water off. Get them to respond. Get it done. Let's do it. I appreciate the concern, but, you know, at some point there's a level of personal responsibility people have.
Yep.
They're not doing what they're supposed to do.
They've got seven letters.
Well, yeah. Turn it off. Pick up those 191.
Get it done. It's the same thing with billing for the transponders. Bill it in full. I mean, if people are not responsive, the rest of us as citizens bear the cost of that. And I think we have to remember that sometimes.
You know, Cassie is, she watches these things like a hawk. I mean, she'll call me up and say, I think this guy's stealing water. Why? Because, you know, it's a multi-family house and he's only using one ATM in a week.
Wow.
You know, so we keep an eye on it. I mean, he's got a good handle.
Just enforce it. Go.
Okay.
I'll move it when you want.
All right.
And
you're all set?
Yeah.
Okay. Mark has moved approval on the zoning or on the amendment.
No, I'm not changing the zone.
On the amendment to the water hookers ordinance. Okay, you ready? All in favor?
That's what I'm thinking of.
We have five in favor.
I agree.
Huh? Are you voting for? Are you abstaining? Okay, and one abstention.
All right.
Okay, this does not go to any other committee, so.
Sorry.
I suppose people will read their back at them.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that people are extremely frustrating and a lot of time for the department to be thinking to people who are simply not responding or refusing to have a leadership. Okay. The last two items are... I'm going to hold Scott in his seat because there's a wireless communication.
I'm already on the
feeling. Hey, you're sitting on the subcommittee, so you guys
you don't have a feeling while you're just sitting
down
on top of the closet.
Here's the thing. I really thought that we were going to be joined by Alan Mandel this evening.
I know what you're saying. Did you use the wireless one?
Yeah, we did. And... Well, I'd like to raise these two items, and Cheryl and Susan, who's not here, but Cheryl's also been at these lengthy meetings we've had over a number of weeks now. I want to raise these two things because they're things that the Municipal Modernization Act is allowing us to do to prepare for the future. I'm going to read them both and we can talk about them simultaneously. Item 617 is Crossley, Albright, Lavin, and Gentile requesting the establishment of a filing fee for petitioners seeking to attach wireless communications devices to existing or proposed structures in the public way. In fact, we have a meeting. We have a filing fee, but it's really small, $35. And we would like to consider increasing it substantially. But before we discuss that, I'll also read in 36-17.
Counselor Crossley, Albright, and Lavin, requesting an ordinance pursuant to Mass General Laws, Chapter 156, Section 22, and Chapter 44, Section 63G, which is the Municipal Modernization Act, the adoption of which would enable the City Council to require peer review of grant of location petitions, including proposed wireless communications equipment attachments to poles or structures in the public way. But there's many other grants of locations as well that pertains to and on public land, as the petition is expected to assist us in deciding these grants. They're both pretty self-explanatory, but the fee is something that we've learned is charged by a number of other communities who are also beginning to get a lot of these requests. And I wish we had Alan here slash that memo from Alex Tatis that we asked for. Alex Tatis is works for the fire department.
He's
very knowledgeable and in particular about all of these things, and has been very helpful to us so that we understand, for example, the interconnection between this and our citywide emergency communication system. But he says, he listed a lot of costs associated with our monitoring of these installations. He said the average filing fee, and so did this potential consultant we talked to, is around $300 in communities. We also know that it sounds like a lot of money.
Some are 500.
In Salem, it's 500. The poles belong to someone else, but they're in the public way. And we are spending a lot of time putting together a set of design guidelines. We now are working also with the planning department as well as the fire department, and we have met with consultants from whom we are waiting for a proposal. He's going to write us a proposal. We asked for several things. One, if we were to hire him to actually peer review the engineering that the petitioner does, any wireless, is to figure out where the optimal locations are for their devices. And what the peer review of their engineering documents would be, not necessarily redoing all the engineering. And two, to help us with the ordinances and the design guidelines to help structure those, which may wind up being a review. So we'd like to set in motion the establishment of a fee. And I'd be happy to move this one to finance if we felt, should we be increasing the fee?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd be happy to move this one to finance and let finance take it up, when we can get at least that memo from Alex Tatis so that it can be clear what the related monitoring costs can be.
Do you want a motion to hold in here so we can get that?
No, I want to move. I'd like to approve.
Oh, okay, fine. I'll move.
We have to go. We
could modify the item to suggest that we want to raise the existing filing fee from $35 to somewhere between $300 and $500, or to as much as $500.
You can modify it. Fine.
Well, up to $500.
Can I just clarify?
Sure.
You talked about it and said the establishment of funds to the different than our business.
Yes, which I didn't realize when we wrote it.
Modification. Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Modification.
So can we amend it to federal finance?
Yeah, you just want to refer it to finance.
I want to refer it to finance.
Yeah, we just want to refer it to finance.
Okay.
So it should be referred.
So are you making that motion to refer the item to finance?
Sure.
To raise the fee.
Fine.
Okay, so we have the motion, all in favor?
The $500.
Per grant of location, which could include a few actual installations, but yeah, so we have enough.
Well, on a motion to peer review then, too?
Yes. What?
Okay, so let's finish that one, and then
I'll comment. Well, generally, 6-17, we voted to refer that to finance. Then on 36-17, I'd like to set this in motion. I think this is pretty if we move this forward, we need to have an ordinance in hand. So I think what we're looking for today, sometime getting the process right, is a consensus that we want to do this, and we need to have Alan draft the ordinance.
Because we're just accepting...
Well,
we're just accepting
language before we.
Okay. We're accepting mass general law, are we creating an ordinance because they say we can?
And so we'll hold the item and we'll...
Great idea.
Okay, great. Okay, so we're going to hold this and that is complete. Oh, Cheryl?
I just have one more comment because you were... first of all, this accepts, as you said, it accepts the mass general laws that allows us to do this, not only for grants of locations, but this is for land use. This is for planning.
All grants of locations.
All of them, right.
Not for... land use and planning, but this is for all any grant of location that might come before us.
But wasn't the mass general law what they are allowing to accept is for us to charge for peer review for anything?
We're able to do that in our special permit process anyway, already.
We have a peer review when you do
parking,
for example, and they have to pay for it.
Right.
We have not been allowed to do it in here for grant of location petition.
Right, but I thought this was further than just grant of location.
No, it went further than just wireless communications equipment. It applies to all grants of location.
Okay.
So that's all we need.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we encompassed everything they were saying we could do with
grant of location for an underground something.
Right.
We've not ever asked in the past for peer reviews.
Right.
Or let's hear the great example. We learned that now it's when people want a monopole, which had been towers for communication equipment, had been rejected in the past. They've been rejected because it requires a land building next to it to house all the stuff.
That's right.
And we learned from Alex Tagus, one from the consultant, that you can now put those underground completely. So if the petitioner wasn't offering that, then you would request a peer review.
One more thing on... You mentioned that there was a consultant that we're thinking of hiring, and what we learned from him is peer review is taking what Verizon Wireless gave us and looking at it and saying, okay, if A equals B, B equals C. However, to really figure out if there are other locations or if other locations work, we would have to do our own complete study, which would cost like $10,000 per thing. For grants, so all we I'm not sure even how much the peer review, how much it would be worth for us to do a peer review because they're using proprietary information that they're not going to give us. They're going to give us you know, what they say. So it's based on, so that's one, it's just one.
Well, the reports that they passed out to us, for example, which are really impossible for most of us to read, Alex Tatus and his consultant picked them up and made sense of it in their own minds anyway.
Right,
pretty quickly.
But they also said it's based on their proprietary information, so they could put whatever they wanted.
Well, they were not advising us to leave the engineering, but rather to put together a set of guidelines and so forth, and understand what some of the options are. Like, for example, learning that you can put a lot of this junk underground, and also we learned that there's a choice, really, for deploying this information. You either do a tower, which they said picks up about 17 small cell sites, or you do the 17 small cell attachments.
But they have to offload because
we have to provide the service coverage that everybody wants, and then require us to give that to them. So there's that big choice. So just to give a quick summary, what we wound up with in this larger group that kept growing and growing was to say, well, why don't we try to bring Verizon Wireless to the table and talk about these choices and look at a map and, you know, consider how the city is laid out and where public properties are and where public ways are and so forth, and see what might work better for us. In other words, why don't we consider having a plan for the city?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't yet realize how much work that is and exactly who would do it. And
it's a lot of work, but we learned that you can make a lot of money if we do find locations for that
on public land.
So the polls the people are, you know, those are not our polls. We can have a filing fee, but we can't charge them rent. But you can get significant rent if we had a location like on a field somewhere that was like a flagpole. But we could that could be a revenue source.
Next to the solar panel.
No, that could be a revenue source for the city. It could be in a building, or it could be. There may not be locations that they would like, and there may not be locations that we have. But it would be good to get not just Verizon Wireless, but all the carriers, and seeing what they, you know, if they wanted them, rather than, you know, and if also we could prevent having one on every other pole.
Next meeting, we're going to invite Verizon Wireless to come back here because we have four outstanding locations.
Of the four petitions,
only one of them, the Dudley Road one, has the proposal to put the equipment in front of somebody's house. They may be withdrawing that, and we're not going to take it up in 2 weeks. We'll take up the other three, which are pretty straightforward. Until we get our design guidelines in place, you know, this is the second time they've extended the, what they call the tolling agreement. So we'd like to take these up and introduce and dispose of them. If people want to vote against them, they may, but it's really, we need to be, if people want to vote against them, there has to be some clarity into why. So I just before we conclude, I'll just a couple of agenda items. I want to take those up in 2 weeks. I'd like to take up one is solid waste and recycling plan that we sent us. You all have that. We can send it to you again online if you haven't placed it or recycled it by mistake. Not yet, we couldn't do that. And so I'd love to have that discussion with Juanita next time. Jim and I talked about that. That's good, right? Okay. And then, is it March 8th where we're coming back with additional ordinance work in the water, sewer, trenching?
IDE.
Okay, it's March 8th, right? We're going to be ready to begin that. Okay. And one more thing.
I actually talked this through with other folks, Maureen, I think, and Lenny, I'd like to talk to in particular, but I am going to propose a docket item that would bring in some folks to talk about municipal aggregation. About 7 communities around the state now are putting this in place. There's a process. They've become aware of what the process is. And there's a first step in the process that's pretty easy. But what we would do is learn about what it means for the city before we would take that first step. The first step is to pass a motion to allow, which is required by state law, to allow the administration to engage in the rest of the process. So I'd like to do that on March 8th. And that's all I have. I'm sure there's some other stuff, like other grants of locations coming forward. Oh, that's fine. I'm figuring there's a lot of...
Yeah, do we have to act on this?
I have
a comment.
Okay.
It's really a question. I want to be clear that what we're doing here is that we're asking to request an ordinance to allow the city to require peer review. That's what this is all about.
The Municipal Modernization Act has a piece in it, which I think I understand, is that allows us to draft an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us the authority to incorporate an ordinance that that allows us to require peer review of these grants of location. Without putting the ordinance in place, we don't have that authority.
In reading the business section of, I think it was the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, they said that Verizon is the second most hated company in the United States.
Verizon Wireless.
And the first one is another telecommunications company. I think it's Delphi.
Not at all.
All in favor of holding that item. Thank you very much.
City Hall is closed.